This evening, as I continue the series on Psalms quoted in the Gospels, again, I present you with two texts this evening. The first text is Psalm 69. We'll be looking at the first half of this Psalm, verses 1 through 15. And the second text is, again, from the Gospel according to John, John 15, verses 18 through 27. So on the night when Jesus was betrayed and arrested, before his arrest, he had a long conversation with his disciples. And it's often called the upper room discourse, or his farewell speech to his disciples. And when he was speaking to his disciples, there were two imminent trials that were troubling his soul particularly. And the first trial was the betrayer from within. Judas betrayer of him, and he wanted to prepare his disciples for this betrayal, and he wanted his disciples to continue to hold fast to each other and love each other. And this is what we saw last time when Jesus foretold the betrayer of Judas. But the other trial that Jesus was expecting to face, and he was expecting that the disciples may be greatly discouraged with the hatred from without, the hatred of the world. And again, our Lord, even as he was going to face the hatred of the world, he was thinking about his disciples, and he wanted to prepare them for the hatred that they were going to face. And this is the text. This is the central message that we will be seeing this evening, which Jesus foretold his disciples that they would be hated by the world for his sake. He quoted Psalm 69, and he said, "They hated me without cause." So with this intention of Jesus in our mind, let us pay attention to the Word of God. I will be reading Psalm 69, verses 1 through 15 first. And then we will go to John 15. "Save me, O God, for the waters have come upon to my neck. I sink in deep mire, where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hair of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal, must I now restore. O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me. O Lord, God of hosts, let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me. O God of Israel, for it is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Now let us turn to John 15, and I will be reading verses 18 through 27. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the words that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have sinned and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of our God abides forever. May the word of God abide in your hearts, and may the word of God bear fruit in your lives. In 1839, the first two Christian missionaries came to the New Hebrides, which was a chain of 80 islands in the South Pacific. They landed on one of these islands, and a few minutes later, they both were killed and eaten by cannibals on that island. Then in 1857, a missionary couple came again to the same island, and having labored there for 4 years, they walked into an ambush set by the natives, and they were cut with a tomahawk on the back and on the neck. Both husband and wife died immediately on the same spot. Then on a nearby island, when the people there heard of this horrible deed, they shouted to one another, "Our love to our neighbors and brothers. They are brave men, for they have killed their Missy and his wife, while we only talk about it." So hundreds of frenzied natives vowed the death of the missionary that was living among them. They took their weapons and marched to the mission house, while the missionary, having been warned by a local friend, fled into the bush under cover of darkness and hid in a leafy branches of a chestnut tree. And there, when he was hiding on the tree, he saw the shadows of men beating the bushes in frantic search of him. There he heard the frequent discharging of muskets and the angry yells of the savages. And there he felt so lonely as he was left alone in a tree and surrounded by his enemies, as he felt the hatred of the people among whom he lived and worked, to whom he had been called to serve as a missionary. And this missionary's name is John G. Payton, and he was a Scottish RP, one of the greatest missionaries ever produced by the Reformed Presbyterian Church. As a youth, Payton heard the voice of his Lord saying, "Go across the seas as the messenger of my love." And in obedience to this voice, he offered himself to go to the New Hebrides against the counsel of many at the age of 34. But ever since he set foot on the first island, he had been confronted with blatant hatred and persecuted by cruel enmity. And this was manifested in a speech given by a chief as Payton was surrounded by a group of armed men who were ready to take his life. And here was what the chief said to Payton. "Missy, we love the ways and the practice of our fathers, which you and other missionaries oppose. So we killed the last foreigner that lived here before you came. We murdered the proselytes among us and burned down their houses. And now we are determined to kill you because you are changing our customs and we hate the Jehovah worship." Now, people of God, if you think you are being hated as Christians in this country, if you've experienced attacks and insults on social media, if you suffer mockery, disgust, or rejection from your classmates or friends or family members because of your faith on account of Jesus' name, then think of John G. Payton, who was left alone in an island of cannibals. Think of the threats he received from day to day. Think of the hatred he encountered from person to person. Then you will understand what Jesus meant when he said in John 15, he said to his disciples in verse 19, "Because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you." Brothers and sisters, the world hates you. It doesn't matter whether you live in a cannibal tribe in the New Hebrides or in a civilized society such as the United States. You will be hated by all as much as John G. Payton was hated by the savages. You are hated because you are not of the world. You are hated because the world has hated Jesus before it hates you. And you are hated because you are a servant of Jesus and a witness to the world. As Jesus was about to face the ultimate outbreak of the hatred of the world, as he was about to taste the bitter cup of sinners' hostility against him, he was also thinking of his disciples. He wanted to prepare them for the hatred and persecution that would fall upon them, and he wanted to keep them from falling away. So, people of God, this is also my burden this evening, to prepare you for the hatred of the world, to alert you of the spiritual reality that the world hates you, and to point you to the Christian response to a world that hates you. So first, I want you to understand why the world hates you. Why does the world hate you? Fundamentally, it's not because of what you say or what you do, but because of who you are. Verse 19 says, if you were of the world would love you as its own. Here, it doesn't mean that the world actually knows how to love. For the world is intrinsically unable to love and is wholly inclined to hate. As Paul testifies in Titus 3, verse 3, that when we were sinners, we passed our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. So do cannibals love one another? Of course not. They fight each other, kill each other, and eat each other. But as soon as they recognize one who is not their own, they will rise against him with such zeal and the violence and the malice that their mutual hatred of each other can be even counted as love by comparison with their united, strong hatred of the outsider who is not their own. And this is how and why the world hates you, says Jesus, because you are not of the world, because you do not belong to the world, because you have been set apart from the world, because you have been chosen and called and delivered out of the world by Jesus Christ, your Savior, who bought you and ransomed you with his precious blood. Once you were of the world, but now you are in Christ. Once you were enslaved to sin, but now you walk in righteousness. Once you were sons of the devil, but now you are children of God and heirs with Christ. And therefore, the world hates you. Genesis 3:15 anticipates the enmity between the offspring of the serpent and the offspring of the woman. And this enmity has constantly played out throughout the history of redemption. So we see Cain murdered Abel because he realized that his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. And Ishmael persecuted Isaac because he was the child of the slave, while Isaac, the heir of God's promise. And Saul tried to kill David because he was rejected by God, but David was anointed in his place as king over Israel. And we also see Jezebel persecuted Elijah, Zedekiah imprisoned Jeremiah, Haman plotted against Mordecai, Herod beheaded John the Baptist. Why? Isn't it because they were of the devil and they hated those who were not of the world but belonged to God? So people of God, do not be deceived by the world. For the world may disguise its hatred. The world may justify its hatred. The world may blame you for its hatred. The world may accuse you of committing hate crimes against itself. The world will charge you with homophobia, with racism, with sexism, with extremism, with anti-intellectualism, with intolerance, with ignorance, with insanity, with hypocrisy. The world will say that they could not believe in Christ because Christians are hateful and unloving, because Christians are judgmental and narrow-minded. But brothers and sisters, do not buy the lie of the world, but remember the word of Jesus, because you are not of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. The world hates you when you tell the truth. The world hates you when you defend justice. The world hates you when you seek good, when you show kindness, when you help the poor, when you save the unborn. The world hates you because you are of the light and they are in darkness. As 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4 says, they are surprised when you do not join in the same flood of debauchery and they malign you. And the world doesn't believe in Christ, not because of you, not because of any bad witness of any Christian. They do not receive Jesus because they hate Jesus. And they hate you only for Jesus' sake. And sometimes I would rather live among the cannibals of the New Hebrides than living among the so-called free thinkers in a civilized world. Well, at least these cannibals are honest. They are willing to admit that they hate Jehovah, while those decent free thinkers honor Jesus with their lips, but hate Jesus in their hearts as much as the cannibals do. Have you ever heard of the alleged quote of Gandhi, which says, "I like your Christ. I do not like you, your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Whether or not Gandhi actually said it, the statement is in open conflict with what Jesus says. For Jesus says in verse 18 of our passage, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you." And he also says in verse 20, "A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." So Jesus is saying, no unbeliever can ever like him, but can only hate him. And the more Christians become like Jesus, the more they will be hated by the world. For the world hated Jesus with greatest hatred. The world persecuted Jesus to the greatest degree. And this leads to our second antidote to the hatred of the world. That is to remember how the world hated Jesus. How did the world hate Jesus? They hated him without a cause, as verse 25 says. And this is a quote of Psalm 69, verse 4. "More in number than the hair of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies." In this psalm, Jesus likens the hatred of his enemies to deep waters that have come upon his neck, to the flood that is sweeping over him and is about to swallow him up. And he pleads to the Father to deliver him from his enemies, from the deep waters. But even as Jesus prays for his own deliverance, he remembers our needs and our welfare. So he prays in verse 6 of this psalm, "Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me. Let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor because of me." Oh, brothers and sisters, since our Lord remembered us as he endured the overwhelming hatred of the world, let us also remember him as we face the increasing hostility against us, so that we may not be put to shame and may not fall away from grace. And let's remember how the world hated Jesus. When he healed the sick, they called him a Sabbath breaker. When he cast out demons, they called him Beelzebub. When he ate with tax collectors, they called him a glutton and a drunkard. When he forgave sins of sinners, they called him a blasphemer. When he preached in his hometown, They tried to throw him down the cliff. When he claimed to be before Abraham, they picked up stones to throw at him. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, they plotted together to kill him. When he was declared innocent by Pilate, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And when he was lifted up on the cross, they mocked him and wagged their heads at him. Jesus had come to bring truth to the world, yet the world rejected him. Jesus had come to bring light to the world, yet the world resisted him. Jesus had come to give life to the world, yet the world killed him. Jesus had come to show his love for the world, yet the world hated him. They hated him without cause. They hated him with pure hatred. So people of God, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. If the world hates you, know that it has hated Jesus before it hated you. And what a blessing that you may share in the suffering of Jesus, that you are counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. So far, I have offered you two antidotes to the hatred of the world. I have urged you first to understand why the world hates you, and second, to remember how the world has hated Jesus. And now here is the final antidote, that is to proclaim how much God loves the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." It's been long debated whether God loved each and every man in the world or just the elect that he had chosen out of the world. But this debate has completely missed the point. For what is really striking in this verse is God so loved the world which so hated him, that God has sent his only Son into the world that is so evil, so malicious, so dark, so hateful. Indeed, you may call it a world of cannibals and savages. Yet the Bible says that God so loved the world. The world so hated God without cause, yet God so loved the world without cause. Now, people of God, do you love the world? Do you love people of the world? Do you love those who hate you and bless and persecute you? Do you love those who blaspheme your Savior and mock your faith? The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world. That God so loved the world that he has sent his Spirit into the world. That God so loved the world that he keeps you in the world, that you shall bear witness about Jesus, that you should be a messenger of his love to a world that so hates him. And it's so sad that so many Christians are preaching a contrary message to the world. And they are telling the world that God so hates the world that he is eager to throw the world into the fire of hell. Brothers and sisters, the world hates you, But you cannot hate the world. The world hates God more than it hates you. But God so loved the world that he gave his son, even his only begotten son, to die for his enemies, to die for his haters, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So you dare not hate the world that God so loved, and you dare not mock sinners whom Jesus came into the world to save. But you must endure the hatred of the world in order to proclaim the love of God. As we are preparing for the story's hope, you may be thinking of inviting your friends you think may be interested in coming. You think that they would gladly receive your invitation. But I challenge you to also invite those whom you think that they will reject your invitation with hatred, those who will mock your faith without mercy. We do not share the gospel with those who love God, but we are commanded to bring the message of love to those who hate God, not because they love God, but God loved them first. But I also want to say to you, dear friends who have not believed in Jesus, you are haters of God. You are enemies of God. There's nothing in you that can make God love you, and you deserve nothing but the wrath and hatred of God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, no matter if you are a blasphemer or persecutor, no matter if you are a murderer or adulterer, no matter if you are a homosexual or transgender, but whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So will you come to Jesus? Will you believe in Jesus? Will you embrace the love of God? Will you receive the grace of God? I implore you, I beg you, to come to Jesus and believe in him. For why should you perish in your hatred of God while you could have such a great opportunity to enjoy eternal life in the love of God? When John G. Patton was facing the hatred of the cannibals, when he was facing the imminence of his death, he didn't forget why he came to the New Hebrides. He didn't respond to the hatred of the cannibals with hatred, but he spoke of the Savior's great love to those savages who were ready to kill him. And they listened to him quietly and departed from him one by one. And one of them became a Christian afterward. And when he was dying, he came to say farewell to Peyton. Farewell, Missy. I am very near death now, but we won't meet again in Jesus and with Jesus. And Peyton wrote about this man in his autobiography. He said, thus died a man who had been a cannibal chief, but by the grace of God and the love of Jesus, he was changed and transfigured into a character of light and beauty. What think ye of this, ye skepticals, as to the reality of conversion? But I knew that day, and I know now, that there is one soul at least from this island to sing the glories of Jesus in heaven. And oh, the rapture when I met him there. So may God also bless us with such a great joy of meeting these unlikely converts. And may God bless us that we may taste the power of the gospel to transform the haters of God into the children of God. Let us pray. O God, our Father, you know how much the world hates you, and you know how much the world will hate us. But because you so love the world, you don't want us to hate the world, but you want us to bear witness to the world about your love for the world. But Lord, so often we just feel tempted to hate the world, to hate the world who persecute us, who laugh at us. But Lord, it's only when we look at Jesus, it's only when we know that how Jesus died for sinners who hated him so much, even us who used to be your enemies and haters. So Lord, transform our hearts that we may know how to love the world that hates us, that we may share the gospel of your love to a world that we think it will reject. But by your power, you will convert these haters to be your children. So we trust in your power, and we look forward to the day when we will meet many, many unlikely converts in heaven. But Lord, how shameful we will be if we meet such an unlikely convert in heaven, while we, whom we thought that he would never believe, so that we have never shared the gospel with that person. Oh Lord, may that never happen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.